Chafayim and Aleph, two lines from them. Ki Asa Rabin. So Ki Asa Rabin, Amar of Yochanan, B'chol Mishrapim, you're allowed to use any type of Isra Hana for purposes of Refuah. Chutz Me'avodah Zara, the Gila Raya, so Shichas Damim. Exception of the big three, Zara, Gila Raya, and Shichas Damim, you can use anything else you want for the purposes of Refuah. So what are the sources? How do you know those three cannot be used for purposes of Refuah? Says the Gemara, Avodah Zarah Hadam. We mentioned Avodah Zarah, the previous brisa at the end of Chafei, that some people whose body is more chav to them than the mammon. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, you have to love me, more than anything. So if someone wants to tell you, listen, to worship Avodah Zarah, you're supposed to give up your own life to show love Hashem, not worship Avodah Zarah. So from the previous brisa we see that Avodah Zarah is not docha refuah. If someone's sick, Rahman al-Tzlam, you cannot be docha Avodah Zarah for that purpose. So Gilei Raios, Shichas Damim. How do I know that you cannot violate those two for the purpose of the refuah? The Tani, the brisa says, Rabbi Omer, Ki kasha yokum ish arayehu, v'tzrotzcho nefesh, kena davar zeh. Says, referring to this, the context of an arah marasa. And in this pasuk, it mentions something about murder. So what's the connection between the two? The Kima inin rotzeach eitz an arah marasa. What's the connection between a murderer and a nar marasa? Harei zeh balame, it's come to teach me, v'nim to lamad, it's come to teach me and to learn something from this. What's the connection of rotzeach and nar marasa? Makish rotzeach and nar marasa, ma nar marasa nitein latzila b'nafsho. Just like a nar marasa is able to save herself, someone's coming to attack her, so she's able to prevent, save herself, to even kill the person if it need be, to defend herself. Af rotzeach nitein latzila b'nafsho, so to a murderer, you're able to kill the murderer to save oneself. And we learn the opposite as well. Also, we learn Na'amarasa from Rotzeach. Ma'arotzeach yaharg v'yavor. Af Na'amarasa that teharg v'tavor. Meaning that if a murderer, someone says, kill that person or I'm going to kill you, better to be killed than to violate the aveira of Rotzeicha. So too, when it comes to Na'amarasa, which is one of the arayos, better to be killed than to violate one of the arayos. So how do you know Shvichas Damim? That there's a this din of yaharg v'yavor. Shvichas Damim gufe minolen. How do you know this? Svaru, a well-known Svaru, Kiahu de Asa the Kamen de Rava, predict the person came in front of Rava, Amarle, Mary Dori, Marli Zil, Katli, Leploni, go kill so-and-so. V-lo, if you do not kill him, Katli, Lecha, we're going to kill you. The guy put a gun into the guy's head and said, you kill Reuben or I'm going to kill you. Amarle, Likid, Lechuvla, Vlo, Tikdam, better that you be killed than you kill somebody else. My Chazis, Didami, Didach, Sumaktve, Dilma, Dami, Dahu, Gavar, Sumaktve, well-known Svaru. Who knows if my blood is redder than his? Maybe his blood is redder than mine. You never know who's greater than whom. When it comes to Ritzicha, if someone forces you, said either you kill him or I kill you, better to sit back and not to touch him, Yag Vayavar, better to be killed than to violate the Aveir of Ritzicha. Once we establish a Svar, the Gemara, which the Torah assumes is a Svar, Pshuta, a simple Svar, then we have the Hekesh of Ritzicha to Naam Rasa, which is one of their Rayos. We could apply the same thing to Rayos, that person better to be Yag Vayavar, better to be killed than to violate one of the Rayos. So we see these are the three instances we find that one cannot violate these three averos, even for the purposes of refuah, even for takanas nefashos. So Mar now records a story. Mar bar Rav Ashi, Ashka called Ravina. Rashi bar Amar bar Rashi encountered Ravina. The shayef le lebarte, he was smearing some oil on his daughter. Big guharki the arla. Rashi says garki the arla is sometimes boser zaysim ketanim, the oil used for some of the unripe or smaller olives. Mishum refuah. So he was using this for refuah. And the reason he did this, because Rashi explains, the sovereign mukar, the israpos, for Isser Hana. So Mar Bar Rav Ashi was under the impression that you could use Isser Hana for purposes of refuah. So Ravina says to him, Mar Bar Ashi says to Ravina, Amarle, Amor, Dam Rabbanan, Bishas HaSakana. So yeah, the Chacham allow you to use Isser Hana for purpose of Sakana, with the exception of those three Isserim we mentioned. But Shiloh B'Shas HaKana Mi'amar, did they ever allow you to use it in Shiloh B'Shas HaKana? You can't just take some oil to make your daughter's skin look nice. That doesn't make sense. You're not allowed to use it. Only B'Shas HaKana could you use all Isri Hana for the purpose of refuah. Amalei Hai Ishsa Tsimirsa Nami K'Shas HaSakana Damyam. This particular sickness that she had was like Shas HaSakana. Rashi explains, Ishsa Tsimirsa is Choli Shikorin Miloi. I'm not sure what that means. Samirsa she'acham, it's some type of fever, some type of heat. This type of disease or sickness she had was considered a sakana, and you were allowed to use the arla, if you're not, for the purpose of refuah. That was one approach. Alternatively, Ravina explains, Ikadami Amarle Midi Der Hanaka Abina. Did I use this in a normal way of Hana? And Rashi explains, Der Hana sa la'acha she yispashlu v'yotze shamnam b'beis abad. He took the olives ready and pressed them very much. All the olive was removed, all the olive oil was removed, and whatever was left over, it was not considered Hana anymore. There was no real Hana that she was receiving from the oil smeared on her skin. It wasn't real Hana. So, therefore, this was permitted. The two explanations why you're allowed to, again, normally speaking, you cannot use Isser Hana for any purpose of Hana unless it's a refuah. So either it has to be a refuah or it has to be Shelo Kederach Hana, like we explained. So those are the two exceptions for using Isser Hana. Now Gemara goes into a very confusing discussion right now. It's confusing because there's so many different permutations and two ikadamris that end up being like eight different cases we're about to see. So I don't expect everyone to follow along, meaning to remember. It's going to make sense as we go through line by line, but to remember all the different permutations is going to get quite confusing. I know my Gemara later on, I have a chart here which helps things, but let's take it slowly. Itamar. Hano haba lo li adam bal karcho. Someone's receiving hana against his will. What's halacha? Is he going to violate an iser of iser hana when the hana comes to him against his will? What's the halacha? Seemingly one would say it's permitted. It's mota. I can't help if hana is coming to me against my will. Seemingly I should be exempt from anything, any averos. So by Amar Muteris, he says it's permitted. Rava Amar Asur, it's forbidden to get such hana. So what exactly is the case we're referring to? So if it's possible to avoid the hana, yet he doesn't, and also v'kamechavin, these are the two important factors. There's efshir and kamechavin. We're going to give different, there's going to be four permutations. There's going to be efshir and lo efshir, there's going to be mechavin, lo mechavin, and every different combination. So if it's a case of efshir, it's possible he could have separated from it, but he didn't. V'kamechavin, and in addition to that, he also had kavana for the asr, the isr, lo, and second case is lo efshir, if he cannot hold back, it's coming to him against his will, yet still nonetheless become a chavin, he's planning on getting a kavana from the iser. Both those cases, kuliyama lo pligid aser. Those cases are both aser because since there's kavana, he has a kavana of getting the iser, regardless of whether he could prevent it or not, the kavana alone establishes that there's an iser. If it's, let's say, lo efshir lo become a chavin, he can't refrain, he can't hold back, he has no choice, the hana is coming to him regardless. And he doesn't have kavana either. He doesn't want to get the hana. That everybody agrees. Kuliyama lo pligi d'shar. That's permitted. That's complete onus. His hands are tied. He's getting the hana is coming. He doesn't want the hana. He says lo mechavin. So that's completely permitted. So what's machlokas Rav and Abaye when they're arguing? Ki pligi d'afshir lo mechavin. It's a case where they could have held back. They could have removed themselves from a particular situation of receiving the hana. Yet they don't. So the hana is coming to them. But they also decide that they're not going to get kavana. I don't want to have any kavana for the hana that's coming to me. So he could have just removed himself from the situation and got no hana. Yet they kept themselves in the position of hana, but they didn't have kavana for the hana. So what's the discussion? What's the machlokas there? So they say, Baliba de Rabbi Yehuda. And let's say, go according to Rabbi Yehuda, who holds in general, all over Shas, the Amar, Davar, Shein, Miskavein, Aser. And he holds, whenever you don't have kavana, we don't care about kavana. If you do a malacha on Shabbos, let's say, without kavana, it is Aser. There too, kuliyama lo pligi d'aser. That too, everyone's going to agree, according to Rabbi Yehuda, who doesn't care about kavana. Since it's a case of efshir, you could have removed yourself from the situation that we're talking about now. Rabbi Yehuda is going to say aser, according to everybody. So far, everything we've said, everyone's going to agree. So when does Rav and Abaye actually argue? Ki pligi aliba de Rabbi Shimon. Damar davar shein miskavin mutter. Rabbi Shimon, all over Shas, particularly in Hilchos Shabbos, says davar shein miskavin is mutter. So Abaye Kabbi Shimon, Rabbi says this is no different. It's a case of efshir. I'm able to remove myself, but who cares? The Ma'ish of the Hana is coming to me, and we said we're talking about a case of I'm not planning on getting Kavana. I'm not Hana. I don't want Kavana, having no Kavana for a Hana. I don't want Hana here. That seems to be like Rabbi Shimon, and therefore, you would think Rabbi Shimon would say Mutter. That's what Abaye says. So Rava, who says Aser, why would Rava say Aser within the opinion of Rabbi Shimon? Rabbi Shimon in general says Davar Sheinu Miskavein is Mutter. So this is Davar Sheinu Miskavein, this should be Mutter. Why does Rava say Aser here? So Rava Amar, Ad Kan Lo Ka Amar Shimon Ela Heichad El Efshir. Rabbi Shimon only says it's Mutter when you have no choice. When the Hana is coming to you against your will, and then there's no Kavana, that's where it's Mutter. Aval Heichad Efshir Lo. But when you're able to remove yourself from the situation of Hana, even though you're not having a kavana, but you could still remove yourself, That Rabbi Shimon would agree, you're asr.
Rabbi Shimon, I'm sorry, Rabbi Shimon, we're talking about Shabbos, Rabbi Shimon?
No, Rabbi Shimon says all over Shas, but it's well known
in Shabbos,
right.
In a case where what would be the case to say in Shabbos, if there was Adam is coming, something that he has no choice, and like something that...
Let's say he's dragging the classic case it brings,
right.
He's dragging the
okay.
couch.
Right.
And it happens to me, it plows his seeds in the field.
So why in that case would be the shear if he wants, he doesn't drag it.
Right, so let's say he needs that couch.
It's still.
So he needs the seat, he has orchim, he has guests, he needs to give them a place to sit in the midst of Hachnas Orchim. So it's still afshir because he needs that couch.
And let's say, okay, and let's say here the guy needs to heal himself.
Okay. So here he needs to heal himself, let's say. Perhaps that might be a case of lafshir. I'm not sure how to define efshir versus lafshir.
Uh-huh. So the same way as would be efshir there would be lafshir
right.
here, and lafshir there would be lafshir here.
I would think so, yeah. Yeah, I would think so. So that's all just the first version of this machlokas. Wasn't quite so simple. Now this ikadamri says, no, the machlokas Rav and Abaye is a little bit different. Efshir v'lo mechavein, let's say it's possible for me to remove myself from the situation, but I don't. Yet I do not have kavana. Hainu pluksaya de Rehuda Rebishon. That's not Rav and Abaye. Nothing to do with us. That's the general machlokas of Rav and Abaye, of Rehuda and Rebishimon. I'm able to remove myself and I don't. So what's halacha? Rehuda says, Davashayna mechavein is asr. Rebishimon, Amar Davashayna mechavein is mutter. So that's the machlokas. That's not Rav and Abaye. If it's lo afshar v'lo chamechavin, if I cannot remove myself and I don't have kavana, kuli amar lo pligi d'shari. That everyone agrees is mutter as well. That's complete onus. I can't remove myself. I don't want the kavana. That's complete onus. That's mutter. Ki pligi. When do Rav and Abaye argue? Lo afshar chamechavin. I'm not able to remove myself from the position. Yet I have kavana now. So it's against my will because I can't remove myself. I need that. The hana is coming to me regardless. But yet I still have kavana. Aliba de Rabbi Shimon, according to Rabbi Shimon, this can be a little bit counterintuitive. Aliba de Rabbi Shimon, de azil baser kavana, who always follows kavana, kuliyama lo pligi de aser. He's going to say it's aser here, because the point for him, the principle is all about kavana. Davar she'ein miskaven is going to be mutter, because it's all about kavana. I don't care about efshir lo efshir. That's completely removed from the picture. It's all about kavana. Isolate kavana. In this case, I don't care the fact that it's lefshir. Lemaisa, it's going to be kavana. There's kavana for the hana. So Rabbi Shimon would say it's actually going to be aser in this case because kavana is the only principle necessary. Ki pligi, when did they argue al liba de Rabbi Yehuda? Within the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, the amar lo shem is kavin, lo shem is kavin. Rabbi Yehuda actually thinks kavana is not a relevant factor because he says even davar shem is kavin is aser. Kavana is not a relevant factor for him. Even when there's no kavana, there's still going to be iser. So, efshir, when it's possible to remove myself, usher. So, if exactly. In the case of Efshir, where I'm able to remove myself, that's usher. If I can't remove myself from the situation, even Rabbi Yehuda will think it's mutter, because that's complete onus. When I'm able to remove myself, yet I do not remove myself, regardless of kavana, so that's going to be usher, according to Rabbi Yehuda. So now, how do we fit in a baye in Rabba? So by Rabbi Yehuda, by holds like Rabbi Yehuda, that's mutter this case, because the case we're talking about now is lo efshir kamechavin. I cannot control myself. The hana is coming to me, yet this kavana, I have kavana for the hana. So Rabbi Yehuda only says it's usher when it's efshir, when I'm able to remove myself, but I do not remove myself. The case we're talking about right now is when you do not have that possibility. You cannot remove yourself, so there Rabbi Yehuda would say it's mutter. Kavana is not the relevant factor for Rabbi Yehuda. The relevant factor is efshir versus lo efshir. The case here is lo efshir, so Rabbi Yehuda says it's complete onus, your mutter. That's the opinion of Abaye. However, Rava, why does Rava say usher? If it's lo efshir, once again, we say kavana is out of the picture. There's no longer kavana. The only question is efshir versus lo efshir. And we're discussing a case of lo efshir. It's against my will. Why would you say usher? So Rava amar lecha, ad kan lo kamar Rabbi Yehuda, she miskaven ki miskaven el lechumra. When does Rabbi Yehuda equate Ainu miskaven to miskaven? He doesn't distinguish. It's only the chumra. He says there's no difference. When it comes to Hilchah Shabbos, the chumra, I don't care kavana. I don't care not kavana. I'm going to be machmir. It's going to be aser across the board. Aval miskaven, kishem miskaven, lekula lo. He's not going to say lekula. He's not going to say a case of just because I say Ainu miskaven, it's going to be mutter. If it's a case of lo efshir, doesn't mean he's going to say in a case of miskaven, lo efshe is going to be kula also. He's not going to equate. Yehuda's opinion is not that miskaven and miskaven is always equal. He's not sure. He's not sure the status of something in a miskaven. So when it comes to something like Hilchel Shabbos, he'll say in a miskaven is going to be lechumra, I'll equate it to kavana. But in the opposite end, he's not going to say, just because Eina Miskavin is Kula, I'm not going to say Miskavin is also a Kula. Miskavin is also going to be a Chumra as well, in both cases. So that's the Gemara. I know it's quite confusing because there's so many different permutations. There's Abaye and Rava, there's Rabbi Huda, there's Rabbi Shimon, there's two Ikadamis, and then there's Epsher, Lom Kamechavin. In the end, there's probably around 16 different permutations that come out of this.
But according to this last one, we're only talking about Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Shimon doesn't even show up because, according to both, it would be mutter.
Right. According to both, Aser, okay. Right, because Kavana is not relevant.
Kavana is not relevant.
Right.
According to Rabbi Yehuda, the Kavana is relevant.
Right. And just to make things even more confusing, just to show you how confusing this is, the Gemara itself is confusing. There's a Machlokas Rashi Tosos here, how to further understand this Machlokas. Now you can imagine like this whole like web of discussions. I remember we did this in Shir a number of years ago. We were doing Hilchel Shabbos. We were doing Davar Shein Miskaven in Shabbos. And Rabbi Rosenzweig sent us to this Gemara here. And the Rashi tells us this is extremely confusing. So, okay, we've taken it at face value. If you want to memorize, you have to probably learn over and over and over again to really get it clear.
And in the second Gedamri, if it's Efshar V'chal Mechavin, the Gemara doesn't say, but presumably that would be also according to both of them.
Efshar, say it again, according to the Gedamri, yeah.
It's Efshar v'Kamachavin. We're only discusses three of the cases. Discuss Efshar v'Kamachavin, which is the worst we said of all.
Yeah, I would think that's certainly us, according to everybody. Yeah, that'd be Pirate Kalachomer.
That would be
true. Yeah, I think so. Okay. Okay, so that's, we can leave that behind us. The Gemara is going to use that a little bit for moving forward, but now it should be a little easier, this next block. Says the Gemara three lines down. Amar Abaye. Mino Aminolai. How does he know that Abaye was of the opinion that's Mutter? I think going according to the second case, how do you know that it's Efshir, lo kamechavin is mutter? No, so lo Efshir, umiskavin is mutter. If it's lo Efshir, you don't have intentions, so you can't remove yourself, but you still have kavana, how are you going to say that's mutter? So he says, brings a minamino, the Tani quotes a brisa, Amru Allah, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Stated about Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Shaya Yoshev et Seilah Shal Heichal. He would sit in the shade, it was very hot out, he would sit in the shade of the Heichal, and the Dorish call Yom Kula, and he'd give Drash, he'd give Shirim all day long. This is a case where he doesn't have any other option, because he has to give a Drash. Rashi says, Dilo Efshir, Milidros, Lerabim Hilchas Achag. So this is what we were saying before, Rick, about how do you define Efshir for Lo Efshir. This is Lo Efshir, he could have went somewhere else to give a Shir. Why do you have to Dafka give a Shir here? So I'm not sure exactly why this is really considered low efshir, but he had to give a drush to the rabbim, and this was the, I guess, the most room they had to give to the most people to fit in the area. So he gave a drush to the rabbim. It was very sunny, very hot out. He sat in the shade, so he didn't have it wasn't efshir. It was still impossible. He couldn't get around it, but it was kamachavin. He got hana from the shade because he was sitting on a hot day. So you see, here's the case: so low efshir, low kamachavin. It's mutter.
What's wrong with having being on the shade?
You can't get hana. It's me'ila getting any hana from kadshim, based on mikdash, hekdei stuff.
Oh, because he's sitting by the hay.
Right. So says the Gemara, Rav Amar shiny heicha de latocha. So this is also interesting. Rav is coming to defend the bay again. We find this a number of times. Rav says, oh, it's different because the purpose of the me'ila of heicha is only the inside. The heicha, the walls were made for the inside to protect within. It wasn't made for the outside. That wasn't considered hekdesh. That's why that was permitted. So you can't bring me a riot from there. Amar Rava, mina aminale. How does Rava know if it's a case of lo efshir, v'kamechavein, that it's aser? He quotes a brisa, the Tanya lulin hayupsuchen ba'aliyas beis kachay kachim. They had these little skylights, right, in the top of the kachay kachim. Shebehen meshalshalin es ha'umnim, the tevos, they would lower down the workers in these boxes from the top. Kedei shel yazunu einayim beis kachay kachim. They had to fix certain parts of the structure of the kachay kachim. They didn't want them to go through the normal way and to get hana from looking at the beautiful kachay kachim. So they lower them down to get the least hana possible while they fix the roof and the different parts of the upper structure. The ha-ha-chadul efshir. In this case, it was impossible. They had to fix the base of mikdash. They had to fix it somehow. So it's lo efshir. The kamachavin, yet there's still, and they had kavana for the hana of seeing the base of mikdash, yet it's still va'asr. It was asked to go the normal way. They had to be lowered down from the roof to get the least hana possible. So we see this case is also, that seems to be a great raya for Rava. But Tizvara, does this really make sense? The Hamar Rav Shimon ben Pazi, Amar Rav Yeshua ben Levi, Mishim bar Kapara. Kol, Umara, Vireach, these three things, sound, sight, and smell, Aim ben Mishamila. These things are not subject to Mila. Who cares if they see the base of Megdash, they see the Kachar Kachim? What Hana is there? You can't, there's no mamashas, there's nothing tangible about the seeing of the Kachar Kachim. Ela Mala also be based on Kachar Kachim. There's a special Mala, a certain level they added to the Kedusha of the Kachar Kachim. You're right, Mikar Din, there's no Hana, there's no Hektation, Me'ila problem when looking at the Kachar Kachim. They wanted, because of the Kachar Kachim, because of the base of Megdash, they wanted to add a certain level of stringency to it. So this is not, does not serve as a raya. So again, Mikir Din, one could have got Hana from the Kachar Kachim, even though the case of Lo Efshar, becoming Chavin, it's Mutter, this was special Mala they added to the Kachar Kachim. Ikadami, there's another version of this way Rava tried bringing a proof for his opinion. Amarava Mina'a Minala, how do I know this, that Lo Efshar, Kamechavin is Aser? The Tanya, the Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi, Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Levi, Mishim bar Kabara, Kol and Mar Rech, Ein ben Mishim Mila. So these things do not have are not subject to Mila. Mila Hudaleka Ha Isurika. So there's no Mila, but there's still an Isur. Mila, I don't have to own any carbon or any anything like that, but there's still an Isur involved if I see the Kachar Kachim. So my love, Losen Homnim Mifnim Dilo Efshir Vekamachavin Vasam, is not referring to those who stand within and get Hana, that there's still an Isur. People who are standing within the Kachar Kachim, they have no other option, Lo Efshir. They're still getting Hana from seeing the beautiful Kachar Kachim, and we still see it's Asr, there's no Mila, but it's still Asr. Says the Gemara, no, lo, lo, osen ha'om de mechut. No, it goes to the people who are on the outside who look in, the people who are on the outside who are Efshir. It's Efshir that they can look away. Efshir that they won't get Hana from the Kachar Kachim, and they do not look away. It's Asr for those people. No Mila, but there's an Isr. But those who are within, who are fixing the Kachar Kachim, it's, who it's low Efshir, they have no choice. They have to fix the Kachar Kachim somehow. If that's the case of low Efshir, that there's no Isr at all. And it's completely permitted, and that's not a raya for the opinion of Rava. Now the Gemara goes on to discuss a little bit about Mi'ila.
Why
Mi'ila.
They have to go in that little box?
What?
Then why they have to go in that little box if they close that opinion?
So I guess the Mala they had to still do, still the Mala, as we mentioned the Gemara earlier, the special level they added to the Kachar Kachim. So now the Gemara discussed something about Mila, nothing too crazy about Mila, nothing too scary about Mila, even though it's a scary topic, meaning it's a difficult topic. So Gufa, Gemara restates what we just said before. Amar Bishuah ben Pazi, Amar Bishuah ben Levi, Mishim bar Kapar. Kol, Mara, Virech, Ein behem Mishim Ila. These three things, sound, sight, and smell, all of them are not subject to Mila. Vireach, Ein bo Mishim Ila. Is that really true, that smelling something is not subject to Mila? V'hotani, the Brisa teaches us. Ha'mefatem, Esakatoras, Lislamidba. You put together the incense, all the different spices for the Ketoras to learn all the most of the tzibur, or to give it over to the tzibur to eventually to use the Mesa Migdash, Shir Pater, you haven't violated any Isser at all. However, if you put together this spices l'hariachba for your own purpose to smell what the Torah smells like, the chayiv, Isser Daraisa is mentioned in the Torah, your chayiv karis for doing such a thing. But if you give it to for the purpose of learning, or the purpose of passing over to the tzibur, you're Pater from karis. Then the Gemara says, v'hamariachba Pater, and anyone who smells it is Pater as well. Making it, you violate the Isser karis. If you simply smell it outside the base of Mikdash, you're pater from Kares, Ela Shemal, but you still violated Me'ila, because you got Hana from something that's Kodesh. So you see, by smell, there is an Isser Me'ila. And we said before, smell is not subject to Me'ila. So El Amarava, Kolumara Ein Behem Mishem Me'ila. No, only sound and sight are not subject to Me'ila, Lefish Ein Ba Mamash. They have nothing tangible to them. For Reach, however, smell, La'acha Shetala Tumraso, Ein ba mishum ala mila ho benasas mitzvasa. Smell is something tangible. You could the smoke goes up. You could smell the smoke. There's something tangible to it. However, after the smoke goes up of the smell, then there's no longer mila because the mitzvah already been performed. So once you light the fire and have the incense start burning, after that smoke goes up, then after that there's no longer mila because the concept is mila only exists before the mitzvah is performed. The once nasa mitzvasa, once a mitzvah is performed in a particular mitzvah. And Kachim, there's no longer a Mila. Okay. So again, that's why Reach was on the list of Kol Amara, because it was on the list to teach me that Reach, after the mitzvah was done, then there's no longer any Mila. Says the Gemara, the Maimra, is this to tell me that Chol Heicha Denasas Mitzvaso Ein Bo Mishumila? Is this the Klal? That whenever a mitzvah and kachrim is performed, there's no longer Me'ila remaining? Is that really true? A mitzvah is performed, there's no more Me'ila? Pare Chumas Adeshin Denasas Mitzvaso V'yesh Bo Mishumila. Chumas Adeshin was in the morning, the first thing the Kohen would do, or a Kohen would do, they'd do all his payasos, they'd do a whole lot. And the Kohen who got chosen would go in early in the morning and take some of the ashes off the Mizbeach and place it off to the side. The mitzvah was done. And when the mitzvah was done, lechora, those ashes were permitted to be used. Because when the mitzvah is done, there's no longer milah. However, we see here that harei, chumas hadeshen, denasas mitzvah. So after the mitzvah was done, v'yesh b'mishum milah. Yet there still is an iser milah after the deshen was removed from the Mizbeach. The chsiv, the pasuk says, v'samu eitzah Mizbeach. You should place the deshen next to the Mizbeach. Shlo yifazes, shlo tzun, disperse. V'samo, you should place it there. Shlo yana, mishum shlo yana. You should place it off to the side so nobody gets hana. Who cares about hana? Once you remove the deshen from the Mizbeach, you perform the mitzvah, and there shouldn't be a meal anymore. Let someone get hana from it. Says the Gemara, mishum dehavet shumas hadeshen v'big deyakuna shnei ksum bom keachet. Shumas Hadeshin and Big Day Kuna, which we'll see in a moment, those two are special psukim that there is still Me'ila after the mitzvah. Those are the only two that there is Me'ila after the mitzvah. But since they're the only two, it's Shnei Ksuvim Abon Kecha, V'chol Shnei Ksuvim Abon Kecha, two psukim that come to teach me the same halacha, Eim Lamdim. We cannot derive elsewhere. So only those two, Shumas Hadeshin and Big Day Kuna, are the only exceptions, the only cases where there is a Me'ila after the mitzvah. But we can't apply that elsewhere. The implication is anywhere else, there would not be Me'ila after the mitzvah has been performed. So what are these two cases? Chumas Hadeshin, Ha'adamrin. We already mentioned the case of Chumas Hadeshin, that even though you've done the mitzvah, you have to place it off to the side to ensure that nobody gets a na'ah. What's the case of Big Day Kuna? Dechsiv Hinicham Sham. The Big Day Kuna, talking about in Yom HaKippur, in Parshat Acharimot, said the Kohen Gadol has the Hinicham Sham, places the Begadim that he used in that day off to the side. Milameh Shatunim Gneza. You have to hide them, the Gneza. You have to bury them because no one can get her na'ah. Why can't you get hana? It wasn't the mitzvah performed. He used the Big Day Kuna for that day of Yom HaKippurim. The mitzvah is complete. So you should be able to get hana from it. Why does the pasuk say, V'nicham sham to tonim geniza? It requires geniza. You have to bury it, hide it somewhere. Because this is the other exception, that even though the mitzvah has already been performed, there still exists the mi'la. So those are the two cases, Chumas Hadeshin and Big Day Kuna, that there still is a mi'la after the mitzvah. Anywhere else, however, there would not be mi'la after the mitzvah.
So the fact that he used to make tilos of That was not the Big Day Kuna.
So that Gemara in Shabbos says Shibbolin, when it's already started going bad, the Begadim started falling apart.
Only then they waited for them to fall apart and then they okay.
Exactly. And one may also say that might not be considered Hana.
I'm not sure they used the belts.
They used to use, I think all, I might, was Dafka the belts? Either way, that's part of the Big Day Kuna. But that was the Gemara in Shabbos you're referring to, but Simchas Beis Shoeva, would that be considered Hana anyways? They'd be burning it. I think Tosus there, I think, asks that question. But I think Shibbalin, only when they started going bad, the Begadim.
When did they reuse Begadim for belts? Is that what
it was? They used to use it for the fire.
The belt for the Begadim used to use for fire.
Okay, so Gemara says, Hanicha, the Rabbanon, the Amri Milameh, Shatunan Gneza. This makes sense according to the Rabbanon, who interprets the words of Hanicham Sham by Big Kahuna as to mean hiding it, bury it, leave it out of sight. That makes sense according to the Rabbanon. And the Rabidusa, the Paligaleo, Rabidusa argues in the Rabbanon, the Amar of Aru'un Hein the Kohen Hedyo. So, no, the Big Day Kuna of the Kohen Gadol Yom Kippur, it's not allowed to be used for another Yom Kippur, but it can be used for a Kohen Hedyo during the year. He could use those Begadim. The ones, obviously, a Kohen Hedyo can't wear, well, I guess the same clothing he wore in the four. Kohen Gadol wore eight Begadim. On Yom Kippur, he wore four Begadim, switching back and forth. So, those four Begadim that corresponds to the four Begadim of Kohen Hedyo, a Kohen Hedyo could wear. So, my v'nicham sham, according to Rabbi Dusa, that you didn't have to bury these Begadim of the Kohen Gadol. What did he understand? How do you interpret the words v'nicham sham to place them there? Shelo yishamish ben b'yom ha-kippur m'acher, you can't use them for another Yom Kippur, but another Kohen Hedyo can use them. So you see from here that there you can get hana after the mitzvah has been performed, you could still get hana from these Begadim. So how are you going to explain? We're the Shnei Ksum Bom Keachad. If we're trying to say in general, you can derive Hana after mitzvah, and the reason being is because Shumas Hadeshin and another Pasuk, you cannot. Those are the only two exceptions. Elsewhere, you can get Hana. So now we only have Shumas Hadeshin. We need a second Pasuk to tell me this Shnei Ksum Bom Keachad. So We have a second, really a third pasuk, but in this case a second pasuk egla rufa. So what's the pasuk of egla rufa? Does Rashi quote this pasuk here?
Shamti for us.
He doesn't quote the pasuk, right? But sham sham the iser hana.
Sham take for us. Yeah.
In Rashi.
Third one.
Oh, here, Egla Rufa, thank you. Third Y line down in Rashi. Egla Rufa. Ksiv Sham, it says Sham. The Mashmah Sham Tehe Kirasa. There should be the burial. You have to, after the Egla Rufa, Sham, you place it there, you bury the Egla Rufa, and you can no longer get Hana from it. So this is the second Pasuk. Chumas Hadeshin and Egla Rufa. And elsewhere, however, even though these two cases, you cannot get Hana after the Mitzvah, elsewhere, you can get Hana after the Mitzvah, such as the case of Ketores. After you smell the Ketores is used for the Mitzvah, you can smell the Ketores. The Gemara says, Hanicha, Laman Damar Eim Lam, then this makes sense according to the opinion that says, Tupsukim come, you cannot learn elsewhere, because only these Tupsukim nowhere else. El Laman Damar Mlam, then Naik Lamemar. There is an opinion that Tupsukim that come together teach the same thing. You can learn elsewhere. If you can't learn elsewhere, you should say, in general, after Mitzvah has been performed, you should be able to get Hanah from it. So, Maik Lamemar, Shrei Miutu Ksivu Ksiv Vesamova Ksiv Vaharufa. No, we're not learning it from the concept of the Shnei B'Ksum Bam Ge'echad Eim Lamdim. That's not the klal here. The reason why you can't learn elsewhere is because there's a special miut in the context of both these psukim. In the case of Chumas Hadeshin, it says V'Samo, you should place it. You should place Chumas Hadeshin. Protect Chumas Hadeshin, but nothing else requires that protection after the mitzvah. And it says Ha'arufa, the Arufa, only Egla Arufa requires Sham to be buried there. Anything else does not require to be buried. Anything else, if a mitzvah has been performed, you can get all the hana you want in the world. That's how the Gemara concludes, yes.
So basically the Gemara is changing is both Egla Arufa and Chumas Hadeshin is saying that you're allowed to have an
understanding. Saying that Chumas Hadeshin and Egla Arufa, you cannot get hana after the mitzvah.
Right.
Only those two cases, but anything else, you can get hana after the mitzvah has been performed.
But now we're trying to see the case according to the one who says Melamdim.
Right, so now we're not using that cloud Melamdim, Eim Melamdim anymore, we're using a special Mir. The Pasuk says, Samo, place it, place Chumas Hadeshin. Chumas Hadeshin requires protection. Egla Ha'arufa, only the Egla Rufa requires burial, anything else does not require burial. Anything else can be used. What? Right, according to this. Rabbi Dusso said, "Big Day Kuna you can use afterwards. It goes according to the general reason that anybody, any other mitzvah, you can use after. Therefore, a Kohen Gadol can use the Big Day Kuna of a Kohen Gadol." Now the Gemara goes back to the discussion of the Efshir v'lo v'chamchavin, that whole piece we discussed before. So Tashma, the Gemara wants to bring a proof here. The Hechnisa l'Rivka v'dasha. You take talking about Egla Rufa here actually, and you bring it to the Rivka, which refers to the plows, the yoke, yeah, the yoke, and Vidasha, and the Egla Rufa, along with the other cow, does some work together. Vidasha, they start plowing the field, Kshera. Because the din of Egla Rufa, the Pasuk said, has to be lo uvad ba. It cannot be used. You have to use a Egla Rufa that never did any work. So, if this Egla Rufa you put together in a yoke with another animal, another cow, so it's Kshera. Because you did not, Rashi points out, you did not have Kavana. Rashi says Ksheira, two lines from the bottom, Shalonis Kavin Lakach. You didn't have Kavana that the animal do any work. You just put it on the yoke, just perhaps to be Shomer, but you didn't have Kavana for him to do work, and he did work anyways. The Brisa says it's kosher for Egla Rufa still. That's not considered work since you did not have Kavana. However, let's say Bishvil Shatinak Vatidash Psula. Let's say you put it into the yoke next to its mother. You had a young Egla Rufa here to be next to its mother, that should nourish from its mother, and also to plow the land with its mother. That's psul because you had intentions for this. That's kavana. The ha'achal gemara analyzes now. This is the case of dilo esher. It was impossible because, of course, egla rufa needed to live, needed to nurse from its mother. So that's the case of lo esher. V'kam mechavin, but there's kavana you had that's going to ultimately do work in the field. And we say v'katana psula. And we see this creates a psul. The egla rufa cannot be used as an egla rufa anymore since it did some type of melacha on the field. And again, it's the case of lo esher. V'komechavin.
What's the Egla Rufa again?
The Egla Rufa is that the pasuk, I think, end of Shoftim, Parsha Shoftim says that if you found a dead person in the middle between two cities and you weren't sure who killed it, so you have to measure out, the Gemara and Tobit says, the closest city. You find the closest city to the mace, You have to bring an egg roof out, this young cow that was never worked the land at all, onto a special ground that was never worked before, and the basin comes out and said, we didn't do it. Any person who came to us, we gave them the proper food, the proper drink, proper escorting out. We don't know who this was, but we'll take responsibility. This should be a kapara, since we're the closest city. This will be a kapara for all of us. So that's the din of egle rufa.
In these cases, the asking kashas and Abaye, I think Tosas pointed out earlier, but he could answer that they're going according to Reb Shimon, because he's maskim, even Abaye's maskim, that according to Reb Shimon, that if you have lo efshar b'kol mechavein, that it's going to be usher. It's going to Reb Shimon, it's not tolig on kavana.
But low, not a case of lo efshar, though. The only case of efshar, I think, for Reb Shimon.
Said the bottom of all the days.
Right, low efshar would be a case of onus, I think, according to Rabbi Shimon. Right, that the bottom, like six lines from the bottom, low efshar of the komachavin. Right, the only machlokas is low efshar of the komachavin. Oh, that's this case here. Low efshar of the komachavin. Rabbi Shimon would say, even though since it's all about kavana here, since it's all about kavana, I see what you're saying, so this should be aser. So this would make sense. According to Rabbi Shimon, he could have just answered that way.
Well, I can answer Rabbi Shimon.
I see.
Sounds like either Gemara feels compelled to believe it's Rabbi Yehuda, or just looking for an alternative answer.
I see. So, right. Pasha is probably trying to figure out for Rabbi Yehuda, but I hear that point. Okay. So this Bryce seems to say again that it's a case of low efshir, because you have to bring the calf to nurse from its mother. It's low efshar, but you also had kavana that ultimately they plowed the land, so it's a case of low efshar kamakavin, and we see that the egla rufa is now puzzle to become an egla rufa. So Gemara says, no, don't bring a proof from there, because shiny hasan dichsav asher lu avad ba mikol makom shelo uvad ba. It doesn't say avad or eved avad, it says uvad. Uvad means in the passive that it was worked, that it was somehow worked. It's more inclusive of any type of way it was worked. So even though it's a case of low efshar, it's going to be disqualified for Egla Rufa, especially because they're Sakasa. But don't bring a raya elsewhere in the rest of Kol Torah Kula that Lo Efshir V'Kamachavin is going to create an Isser. Because again, special Zeres Kasa Lo Uvad Ba, that it can't be worked any way possible. Since, it was worked in such a way, it's going to be disqualified for Egla Rufa. Gemara says, Ihachi, if the Pasuk says Lo Uvad Ba, if it's worked anyway, I feel Reisha Nami. Even the Reisha. The Reisha, again, there was a case where he brought the Egla Rufa into this yoke. To do nothing, just to be there, to be protected, let's say, just be next to another cow. And it happens to be they start plowing the land, and you had no intention, you didn't want them to. There was zero kavana there, so that should be disqualified for egle rufa. Since the pasuk says lo uvad ba, it should not be worked. So who cares whether I had kavana for to be worked or not to be worked? The fact was, it was worked. Lo uvad ba, don't have it worked, and it was worked. It should be disqualified. Yet the Bryce said, it will not be disqualified. If you do not have kavana for the egle rufa to be worked, it will not be disqualified. Why not? The uvad ba, it should not be worked, seems to apply across the board. It should not have any work be done to it. So the Gemara says now, holodamya elala. Our case is only similar to the following. It's similar to the following case regarding para dumana. Para dumana also has halacha, for it to be a kosher para dumana, it cannot be worked as well. So the Bryce says, it's going to be a few lines and we'll put everything together. Let's say a bird flies and rests upon the back of a paraduma. It's still kshera. In fact, it leaned down. It's not. You don't view the paraduma as carrying the weight of the oaf there. That's not considered a psul in the paraduma. However, if a male cow comes up on the paraduma, then that would be possible. So what's the difference whether it's an oaf or another, it's a male para? So my time, I'm a Rav Papa, Iksiv Eved, Rekrin Eved, if the pasuk, now going back to Egla Rufa. Egla Rufa and Paraduma, we're going to assume it's the same thing, Mara. So in the context of Egla Rufa for a moment, if it said Eved, Avad rather, Rekrin Avad, if it's wrote and pronounced Avad, Ad Avad Ba Ihu. Avad means the owner himself didn't act to it. Iksiv O Uvad, Rekrin Ba Uvad, if it wrote uvad with a vav and was read uvad, afil mimela nami, then any type of malacha would be a problematic. However, hashad dichsev avad, it's written avad without the ayin, but krinan uvad, but we read it uvad as if there was a vav there, right? Vav means take without this is a vav there, so it has to be uvad dumi de avad, has to be an uvad, an action that was similar to an avad, an action uvad, a passive action similar to a proactive that the owner did. Ma'avad d'nichle af uva d'nichle. So it has to be some type of hybrid here. You read it as avad, which sounds like has to be a work that the Baal wanted. And uvad sounds like any work, even the Baal didn't want it. So we have some hybrid. It has to be an uvad, a action done to the animal that the Baal was happy about, d'nichle. So now let's go back for a second. Came to Eger Arufa, in the case of the... In the case where he wanted the Eger Rufa to be in the same yoke as the other Egler to do the plowing, so the Baal was Nichle, he wanted the plowing to get done, so that's why the Eger Rufa is possible. In the first case, he just put it Hichnisel Rifka only just to help protect the Eger Rufa, but he had no intention of him doing any work. He didn't want the Eger Rufa to do work either, so it was a Uvad Dilo Nichle, it was a work done that the animal did, Dilo Nichle, there wasn't an Avad Bad, there wasn't a Nichle, that's why it's Kshera. Here too also in the second case, in the Paraduma as well, when the Oaf went on top of the Paraduma, it wasn't Nichle to anybody. But when the Zacha went onto the Paraduma, that was Nichle, at least to the Paraduma itself, so there was an Avad that was Uvad, or an Uvad that was an Avad, you need this hybrid again, some even a passive act that was Nichle to somebody, that qualifies as a Psul. So you cannot bring halachas from Egle Rufa and Parduma to our general discussions of Lo Efshir Kabakabin, because these are special halachas, special gzeres hakasos in the context of Egle Rufa and Parduma. Okay. This is very similar to Yitan and Yutan we saw earlier, I think, in the Gemara. Pasuk reads, it's written as Yitan, but it's read as Yutan. You need a combination. You need a water that falls on the Zera that's Nicha to the Baal. That's the only way you're Machshir. Similar type of Joshua. Okay, so now the Gemara wants to bring further rise for this concept of lo efshiv kamachavin. Says the Gemara Toshma, aveda lo yishtachenu. You find that you have an aveda, you picked up a lost object, you should not spread it out. Lo agavi mita, don't place it on your bed. Lo agavi mogid litzorcha. For your own purposes, don't place it out on any of your furniture to make it look very nice. Aval sholtcha litzorcha, but for the purpose of the begad itself, then you can't spread it out, so it aired out a little bit. Agave mita, agave imagud, you can place it on your furniture to spread it out for the purpose of the aveda, but not for your own purpose. Let's say nizdam nulo orchem. Guests are coming over to your house. Lo yishtachana lo agave mita, lo agave imagud, bein letzorcho, bein letzorcho. Then, even with guests, you cannot spread it out even on your bed for the purpose of the begad itself. You want to air it out a little bit. Guests come over, fold it up, hide it, get it out of the way. Why? What's the issue here? Here, it seems that it's a case of lo efshir, become chavim. It's lo efshir because you need to do it for the purpose of the beged. You have no other choice. You have to air it out. But you're going to get the kavana because your guests are going to come over and say, "Wow, what a nice rug you have out there! What a nice little blanket you have lying down on top of your couch." That's lo efshir because you have to do it for the purpose of the beged. But there's still going to be kavana there as well from the hana you get from the guests coming over. And we see it's usher to do that. So lo efshir become chavim is going to be usher. Says the Gemara. Shiny hasam de kalile. Now there's different because by them coming over, you're actually going to kali. You're going to make it cut keel. You're going to ruin the beged. Why are you going to ruin the beged? Because imishim inabisha, imishim ganve. Either because ein hara, that wow, what a nice rug this person has, or a blanket this person has, you mean ein hara there. Or because they might steal it. So for the protection of the aveda, whether it be ein hara or for the ganavim, you have to hide it. Had not been for those reasons, one would, in theory, be allowed to have this beautiful blanket laid out on the couch, even though it was a case of lo efshir v'kama chavim. So that doesn't serve as a raya either. Toshma, the Gemara brings another brisa. Mochei ksus. So your person sells garments, he sells clothing, and he happens to have shatnas. So mochei kedarkin, he could sell them in the regular way, which oftentimes you have them like on their back. The bevach lo yiskavin. As long as he doesn't have kavana, b'chama b'nei ha'chama, b'bukshama b'nei ha'chama, he doesn't have kavana, any hana he has to protect him from the rain, to protect him from the heat, he should not have any kavana from these shatnis begadim he sells.
This is something that he actually wears on top for it?
Yes, Rashi says, mochem kedarkan, says, mutafin b'ksus kalayim. He would just, you know, wrap himself in these kalayim, the shatnis, on himself, to aim eskavin l'hana l'visha. He's not doing it for his own kavana, either to show how it fits, how nice it looks, or just it's easier for him to carry them on his back to walk around selling the garments.
He's selling it to Goyim.
Exactly, to Goyim, yeah. Now, I don't think it's an Isra Hanah selling shatnez anyways. It would just be lifting Iver.
Shatnez is right.
But it would just be lifting Iver. But yeah, the Mustama he would have to sell to Goyim. So he could wear these shanis as long as he has no kavanah. That snuim, the ones who were modest and more careful about certain things, mafshil lacharem b'makel, they would take it on a stick and hang it behind them so they shouldn't be wearing it. It shouldn't be touching them, shouldn't give them any warmth or protection. They hang it on a stick behind them to prevent any kavana. Here it's a possibility. There's a possibility. It's not a case of low efshir. There's an efshir. There's a way around it. They could have stuck it on a stick and got no hana from it. Yet we said, no, even though it's efshir, you could still get, as long as you don't have kavana, it's permitted. So this ends up being, and this is a tiyufta. Again, you have to try to follow this. This is a tiyufta. Liman de masne lishna kama de rava tiyufta. This ends up being a tiyufta to Rava in the first ikudami, who said that the case of Efshir, Lom Kamchavein, is going to be where Rava says Asr. So this Bryce is a tiyufta to Rava in that first mandamar. Okay. Now the Gemara goes on to another discussion. We still have a few more minutes. Gemara goes back to a Mishnah, back to the Mishnah we had in the beginning. Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly. And Rava would say Efshir, Lom Kamchavein is Asr, right? Within the first ikudami. Okay.
And this is over now, the whole Indian is
it's
over.
It's over. Now all this discussion is over, now we get to the new topic, going back to a quotation from the Mishnah we had. The Mishnah told us, we go back to the beginning.
I'm sorry, so,
sure.
is there a, do we say halacha according to whom we go or no?
I don't remember, it's so confusing. it's very confusing here. I'm not even sure if there's one of those Ein Mishpat here. I'm not sure if he even knew the clear-cut answer. All we know from this Gemara is that Rav is rejected within the first Ma'an Amar.
We know that Efsharu Mechavim, we know for sure it's Asr.
Efsharu
Mechavim is for sure Mutta.
Right. The question is the two cases in the middle.
The two combinations.
Right. Exactly. So the Gemara quotes from the Mishnah we had that Chametz, after this Ma'an where it's Asr B'Hana, one should lo yasik bo tana v'kiran. You cannot use Chametz as firewood for heating up your oven, your stove top, because it's Asr B'Hana. So Gemara now quotes a brisa related to this. Halfway down, Chof of Vavam and Beis. Tanur Rabbanim. Tanur Sheisiku Beklipe Arla. If you use Klipe Arla, the shells of Arla. Oh, Bekashin Shekalei Karim. Or certain parts of the hard outer shells of the Kalei Karim. To heat up your oven. And we said before that Arla and Kalei Karim are Asr B'Hana. So use it to heat up your oven. So Chadash Yutat. Yashan Yutzam. If it's a brand new oven, in a brand new oven, they would need to get it complete. You have to heat it up one time. Light a fire, and by you lighting it one time, that completes the oven. So if it's a chadash, a brand new oven, you use Kilei Karim and Arla to heat it up, Yutzam. You have to break it, smash it, it's done. Because you used Isr Hana to create your tanner. Because that first time it fires up, that's what makes it into now a usable tanner. So you have to break it. However, if it's a yashin, if it's an old tanner that already had been established, already miskayim from another fire, but now this time, a second time around, or any time down the line, you use firewood of Arla or Kilei Karim, yutan, sina, just let it cool off. Let it cool off. Don't get hana from the heat. Once it cools off, you could use proper firewood for another time of the tanner. However, off a bow as a pas, let's say from this fire, you use it to bake pas. What's the din? So when it comes to tanner, you could just let the tanner cool off. But let's say what happens to the pas? You can't let it cool off. That's not going to change anything. Lemaisa, the pas, the bread was made from this fire. So says the Gemara, this is the machlokas tanoim. Rebbe omer pas asura, recham omer pas muteris. Rebbe says it's asur. The reason why it's asur, because you're getting hana, and Rashi explains, this is three medium wide lines down in Rashi. Rebbe omer pas asura, diye shrach etzim, atzei iser bepas. There's a certain amount of hana, shemach, you get from the iser of the Arlo and the Kilei Karim here. So the pas now is something that's been created from iser hana. Chacham Omrim, they would say, no, it's you don't hold of such a concept. You don't say there's shvach from the etzim of iser. Then the Gemara goes on to quote from the continuation of the Brayis, Bishl,
yeah. Sorry. Why would the Chacham say that it's mutter?
They would view this.
You're definitely having a now.
But it would be more indirect, though. It's the wood that creates the fire, and the fire that creates the heat, and the heat which helps the pas. So it's a little more removed. It's not such a direct form of hana.
Isn't it the same as completing the tanner? Like here, you're baking the challah, you're completing the tanner. It's also indirect completing the tanner, huh?
See, I think the Gemara is going to address that in a moment, that even Rebbe has such a distinction. I think so. Let's see how he says this. I think that's what Gemara goes on to say. Let's see. So Gemara says, however, Bishla al gabe gecholim divya kol moder. But let's say you cook it, you take the kalaya karim and you take the arla, and it turns into real coals, charcoal, and it's nothing left anymore. It's nothing. Even Rabbi will agree you could use these gecholim to cook the pas because there's nothing remaining. There's nothing be'en anymore. Okay, so that's the brisa. So Gemara says, v'hatanya bein chadash bein yashin yutan. Isn't there a brisa that says, even if it's new, let alone old, you could just let it cool off and use it? Gemara says, lo kasha harebi harban. That machlokas, you're right, there's two different brises. Machlok is about a brand new oven which was used to fire up with this kila karim. Can you just cool off, or do you have to actually smash it? That's this machlokas, Rebbe and Rabbanim. Rebbe holds that shvach atzei iser is going to be shvach. We view atzei iser hanah from wood as a certain shvach adds to something. So just like it will make the pas aser, it will also make the tanner aser. You have to therefore smash it. Rabban, however, hold no, shvach etzim are nothing. We don't acknowledge that etzim creating any shvach. So therefore, just like Rabban hold the pas is mutter, so to the tanner is mutter, and just let it cool off. Gemara says that's not so true. Emer the shmasle the Rebbe mishum diye shvach etzim pas. V'zev zeh gorm mishmasle. I understand when it comes to the pas that the etzim make the pas into something aser, because it's direct, more direct. The fire, that's the heat that's gained from the wood, is going to directly affect the pas. When it comes to the tanur, what happens? You make the tanur. Now the tanur is made as a complete tanur. But now there's a second stage. Now you're going to fire up yet a second time with, let's say, mutter firewood. So now you have mutter firewood with a tanur that's aser. That's the case of zev zeh gorim. You have one thing that's gorim, two things are gorim this pas. You have the tanur and now the new fire. The tanur was created from something aser. It was created from the arla and the kilei karim. However, the new time you're firing up is using mutter firewood. So it's really zev zeh gorim. Let me explain that again. That when it comes to the tanur was created initially through arla. So now the tanur was created from something aser.
When you say created initially, it means that the first time it was heated was arla.
First time it was heated was arla, exactly.
That's the same, right.
Exactly. Let's see, maybe Rashi says it clearer than I do. Let's look at Rashi, and we'll stop here after this. Rashi, I guess, because it's already 55. Says Rashi, Emer de Shmasle the Rebbe, the Yeshvach, Eitzim Epas. Ki Shmasle the Polig Rebbe Adaron. When we find that Rebbe argues in Rabbanon, be Yeshvach, Eitzim Epas, Lechude, who de Shmasle. When only there's Shvach, Eitzim, the Pas alone. The Rabbanon having Mekili Tve, Rabbanon more Mekil, the Sharia feel Pas Lechel, they permit you to eat the bread. Damri Ein Shvach, Eitzim Ba. El shvach hesek v'iser. You don't get any shvach from the wood. You get shvach from the heat. V'iser shabak kvar kalahu, and the wood goes away. There's no iser. The iser is not on the heat. The iser is on the actual wood. Rebbe savar hol v'avuka kinegdo. Since there's this large flame in kinegdim, yesh shvach etzim v'iser gamer bo. There is a real shvach etzim, because since the avuka comes from the etzim, it is more direct. The gabe tanur chadash, a brand new tanur, and the heat, the yesh shvach etzim bo. Fine. There's going to be direct connection from the wood to the tanur. Mihu atmo einechel ela hesek acher omed. Now the bread is not going to get baked from the initial hesek of the tanur. The first time around when you make the tanur, you're not putting bread into it. You're making completing the act. There's no bread in it yet. The yafo bo. It's going to be a second time around. The second time you're going to put firewood into this oven. That's when you make the bread. V'nim says pas hanefes bo nigmeres aydei iser v'heter. Turns out this bread now, in the second time using the oven, is going to be created from something mutter, created from something usser. Because the first, the tanur is now something usser. Because the first time it was made, it was through isser. But the firewood that's now being used in the second time around is actually mutter firewood. So this pas comes from something that's half usser, something from half mutter. And that Rebbe won't say. Rebbe only says when it's directly made from something that's completely isser. I'm saying that's yesh for yesh. There he never said that. So the Gemara says, Ela lokasha. Harabi Elazar, Harabban, will do this tomorrow, Mitzvah Hashem. Machlok is whether or not the dinah by a chadash is yutzan or a yutatz. That's Machlok is Rabbi Elazar Rabban, which we'll see tomorrow who that refers to. Okay, not a very simple daven half we did. Okay, so we can review.